So tonight we're gonna think together, and I'd like to think with you and share with you ways that we can think about the what question. What do we do when we're in this challenge?
Yeah, Alex.
Oh, great. So the question was about emunah. Let's get to that right now, because maybe could I give a preamble to that, to the answer to that, Anna, maybe, to think about that? Right. So the question was, how does this relate to emunah? So that's great, because the issue of what and what can we do now and what should we be doing now is a great question. There's some background fuzz. If anybody wants to mute themselves just until they speak, just so we don't get the backlash, great, thanks. So we ask ourselves, you know, we look around this room, this virtual room, and we say, we're B'nai Torah, we're B'nai Aliyah, and we're struggling to one degree or another, right? Whether or not, as one of you said, you're feeling very anxious, or somebody else, you're not feeling anxious, but you're like, you're in such a weird zone, and you're not in shul, and you're not davening with a minyan, and you don't have your base medrash, and so like, we're just in this crazy time, this unprecedented crisis, and we're sometimes wondering, so what? What do we do? And so what we can think about perhaps is thinking about what we can do in three different planes. Because when we go through life, this frame, this three-layer frame can be really helpful to us generally, and it can be helpful to us right now. Because the Vilna Gaon, he explains in his commentary on Tanakh in a few places that there are actually three dimensions of our Yiddishkeit, of our Avodas Hashem. One is Bein Adam LaMakom, between us and Hashem directly. Second one is, what would you say?
Bein Adam LaChaveiro.
That's right, Bein Adam LaChaveiro. And then the Vilna Gaon has a third dimension. And what's that? You have Bein Adam LaMakom.
Bein Adam LaAdam.
Right.
Relationship with yourself.
That's right. Bein Adam LiAtzmo. Bein Adam LiAtzmo. And these three frames are super important for thinking about our growth. Like, think about it for you guys over the past year. How have you grown? Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChaveiro, and Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LiAtzmo. The Gemara says in Bava Kama that, and it's really a perfect frame for this, Hai man deboy lamevi chasida, a person who wants to be pious. They want to be spiritually aspirational. Ah, you know this Gemara.
My favorite Gemara.
Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Hai man deboy lamevi chasida, lekayim mile. Mila de Nezikin is one. What else?
One is a deacon. Bein Adam Nezikin. Pirkei Avos, right?
Lekai Mili de Avos. And third one is?
Brachos.
Brachos.
Deacon is Bein Adam. Yeah, Brachos. Because you're always recognizing us. That's Bein Adam Lamakom.
Exactly. Beautiful. So those three ways of attaching ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Mili de Brachos, that's Bein Adam LaMakom, Mili de Nezikin is between people, and Mili de Avos, Pirkei Avos, that's our internal compass, that's our quality. These are the three ways that we think about life. And we think about what can we do? How do we advance? How do we come closer to our neshama? How do we bring Hashem into our lives in these three frames? And that's maybe what we can think about tonight, is how can we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives practically? What can we do in these three areas? So let's talk about the first area, the internal area, Bein Adam LiAtzmo, because part of the Bein Adam LiAtzmo is that feeling, and this is what you mentioned a little bit earlier, Adam, as it relates to Justin's point. Bein Adam LiAtzmo is how we feel inside. And for many of us right now, there is a feeling of pachad, of deep-seated fear, of worry. And what's interesting is that Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadok HaKadosh Livracha, talks about pachad in a few different places. He talks about in the Shemona Kvatzim, and he notes that pachad He says, Chesron ha'emuna betov mevi lepachad ulechulsha. In this context, he's talking about it as a lack of belief in goodness causes fear and weakness. So there's somehow a correlation between emuna and pachad. And this is amplified in the back of the Eder HaYakar. Which is Rav Kook's dedication in memory of his father-in-law, the Aderis. So in the back, there are several little monographs. And one of these monographs, you can see here, it's called HaPachad. And Rav Kook is talking here more about a social fear, not so much an anxiety about a medical crisis. But Rav Kook talks about HaPachaz HaNifraz. Pachad HaNifraz means excessive fear, excessive anxiety. And what that does to a person, how it diminishes the light of their life. And how do we battle that excessive pachad? Rav Kook talks about lalos lahaskil yoser v'yoser, to appreciate and realize that we, the Jewish people, have the Or Hashem. The more we recognize and amplify the Or Hashem, says Rav Kook, the less we struggle with pachad. So lahagdil harayon ha'eloki, to become more spiritually aware, that's maybe what we could call the avoda, the growth of emuna. So emuna is one of the ways, and cultivating emuna is one of the ways that we can combat and mitigate pachad. Now, pachad does not mean caution. Of course, we have to be extremely cautious. We have to follow all of the regulations. I am assuming and hoping that no one here is going to public events or things like that. Unfortunately, we have to daven at home. Hang on one second. So we have to be super, super careful and cautious, but at the same time, that doesn't mean the same thing as pachad. Pachad is this internal sense of dread. So let's dig into this a little bit. Why do we think that pachad is correlated with and needs to be coupled with emuna, and how we can nurture our emuna, and through that doing of nurturing emuna, we can mitigate to some extent the pachad. Why do we think that's true?
If you have like the fundamental belief that like everything Hashem does is good, then like on some level, even though we can't comprehend it, you like understand that there's a purpose for everything that's happening.
Yeah, that's number one. Absolutely. The Ribono Shel Olam is aware. He is Kol Yachol. He's Meitiv. We don't understand it. We've never seen anything like this. No one's ever seen anything like this in our generation, and we can't really wrap our heads around it, but okay. But the Ribbono Shel Olam knows, and ultimately everything will be squared away and fair and good. It's Latav of it, even though we say Dinah Emes in the immediate sense, but ultimately it's Latav. So that's one aspect of Emunah. I think there's another element. Yeah, what were you going to say? Okay.
Like fear the greatness.
Okay, Yiras Haromamos, maybe? Interesting.
I don't know how it would get the Muna into there, and I guess that will show you to have a Muna.
Right. Okay.
It's not in the past, though. Like, we've had the Spanish flu and the Black Death. Like, it's not like the first time there's been a crazy disease.
Right.
So why is this one, like, bigger than, like, death? Like, that was pretty...
Because of social media.
Well, I was going to say, because we... part of it is just, it never happened to us. In our lifetime, we never experienced this. So this is a new struggle for us. I would say there's another level here to consider, which is, what is, maybe you could even argue, the worst thing in life? What is something that the Torah HaKdosha, that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself identifies as lo tov?
Yush.
Okay, yush.
Yeah,
right? Yush is terrible. It's a terrible affliction, yes, and it's associated with something. I think yush is associated with something.
Depression,
it's associated with something also. It's correlated with something that the Torah tells us is lo tov. There's only one thing that right off the bat the Torah says, this is lo tov. The Torah tells us in Bereishis, lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. You know what's lo tov? Being levad. Being levad. What is levad? Levad means alone. Or even worse than alone, being lonely. Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. There was a French playwright, an author. His name was Balzac. He says, man has a horror of aloneness. The worst thing in the world is to be alone and to be lonely. Alone means you feel like you're by yourself. Lonely means you feel like you're abandoned. You have nobody for you and nobody with you. And those are correlated with, as you talked about before, despair, lo aleinu, depression, lo aleinu, anxiety, you know, feeling that you're by yourself, you're in it alone. What does David HaMelech tell us in the Tehillim? Lo ira ra ki ata imadi. David HaMelech says, I'm not going to fear what is ra, what is lo tov, that is loneliness. Because ki ata imadi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are with us. You're with me. And I wonder to myself if maybe that's a big piece of this. If the reason why pachad and emunah are connected to each other, because pachad is about feeling dread and anxiety and despair, which is connected with feeling alone and lonely. And emunah is about feeling the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, says that the most important thing in life is what? Is to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulder. I feel the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me. That's emunah that drives away the pachad of the loneliness. Lo ira ra. Why ki ata imadi? I won't have pachad because you're with me. Korov Hashem l'chol korov l'chol asher yikra'u ve'emes. So Rav Shlomo Volbe has the second chelik of Ali Shur. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is korov to us? And this comes in different places. Korov Hashem l'nish b'rei lev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is korov to us. Ki korov eilecha adavar ma'od. So he quotes from the Rishonim, quotes from some Rishonim that it's korov mikol korov. Why? So Rav Volbe explains because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that source of life, the spark of the neshama that's within us, that's deep down, that is our identity. So in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us than maybe we are to ourselves. He's closer to our essential self than we could even realize. Because our consciousness is a little bit mixed up with our neshama, but also our guf and all our, there's a lot of stuff going on. But ultimately, our true selves is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to feel that and to reinforce that, Bein Adam Li'atzmo, that's something we can do to help drive away the loneliness. This idea of Karov, it fits in terms of how we feel and how we experience so many things. Krova Yeshua Silavo Vitzidkasi Lehigalos, the Pasuk says. What does it mean, Krova Yeshua Silavo? What does it mean that Hashem is karov to us with the Yeshua? We're looking for Yeshua right now. We're so desperate. And Rachman al-Islam, we're afraid because the truth is that things could get much, much worse before they get better, lo aleinu. So what does it mean? So I once heard from Moshe Weinberger an amazing, amazing vort. Says people in darkest times, they said, Krova Yeshua si lava. What did that mean? Maybe the Yeshua wasn't going to come in a day or a week or a month. Maybe liberation wasn't going to come for 2 years. What does it mean when we say Krova Yeshua si lava? So he said, Karov, what we're saying Karov now does not mean as a measure of time. How long is it going to take before the Yeshua comes? Krova Yeshua Silavo means that the Yeshua is close in proximity. Spatially, the Yeshua is right here next to me. Aye, it might make itself appear. It might not reveal itself. It might not make itself apparent for who knows how long, but I know the Ribono Shel Olam and the Yeshua is right here with me. Lo irara ki ata imadi Yeshuasi, my salvation, the Ribono Shel Olam, it's Krova. It's close to me. So the way to battle Emuna on one level, perhaps, what we're learning from Rav Kook, perhaps, is to strengthen our Emuna, to build Emuna. Now, how do we do that? So I'm going to screen share with you for a second this incredible article that I highly recommend that when you finish... One second. When you finish learning tonight, when you finish Myriv, whenever you have a few minutes of time, take a look at this absolutely incredible article. It's from the Jewish Action from several years ago. I'm going to share it with you on the screen. You'll see it in a minute. You can Google it. It's from Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, where he's discussing the source of faith. The source of faith. What is the source of faith, says Rav Lichtenstein? The source of faith, you see it on the screen here, is faith itself. Where do we find Emuna, says Rav Lichtenstein? Where did he find his Emuna? He was such a giant of Torah, of Chesed, and of Emuna. When he went to the hospital for the last time, when his daughter was with him, he was hardly coherent, but you know what she said? He kept saying over and over and over. This was so powerful. It's etched into my mind, the image of what he was doing. He just kept saying, "Biyadcha afkid ruchi padisa osi, biyadcha afkid ruchi padisa osi Hashem kelemes." This is a man who lived with absolutely platinum emuna. So where did he get his emuna? How do we learn emuna? So Wilkenstein says two things in this article. You see it. First, he says, "I learned emuna from my parents and my rabbeim." So for us guys, we need to look to our role models, to our parents, to our rabbeim, to our gedolim who, some of us, we met them, some of us, we never met them. But to hold on to those images, those rabbeim, those teachers, those role models, that's one way we hold on. There's an amazing, amazing story. Yaffa Eliach, Aleha HaShalom, tells in the Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust of the Heilige Blujev Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha. The Blujev Rebbe Yisrael Spira was in a work camp called Janowska together with a group of Jews, and one of them was a maskil, I guess you call it an intellectual, an academic. And he came from the same town, from Blujev, and they knew each other. And one day the Rebbe said to Yaffa Eliach that many crazy things happened. Amazing thing happened. He said that the Germans took them outside and made them dig a trench. And here's a huge, huge trench. And they line all the people up, all the Jews, all the prisoners up. And they tell them, for entertainment purposes, I guess, that all the Jews, all the prisoners have to leap over the trench. And obviously, if you don't jump over the trench, you know what happens to you, Rahman al-Islan, if you don't get over to the other side. So they had to go over to the other side, otherwise that was it. So who's on line right next to each other? It's the blue shiver, and right behind him is this maskil, this academic, this secular Jew, non-religious Jew. And they're getting closer and closer, these two frail men. And finally they get to the edge, and the blue shiver closes his eyes, and with every ounce of strength that he can muster, he leaps, and he opens his eyes, and there he is on the other side. And he turns around and he sees right next to him is the maskil, is that non-religious man. And the man says to him, "Rabbi, how on earth did you leap over that enormous trench?" So Blujever said, "I'll tell you the truth. I closed my eyes and I imagined my father, and I held on to the coattails of my father, and he carried me over." So Blujever said to him, "But tell me, sir, how did you jump to the other side? How did you get over?" The man said, I closed my eyes and I held on to you, Rabbi. Guys, whenever we're struggling with emuna, we can close our eyes and hold on to people. I'm here in my office now. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed me. I have many beautiful svarim here. And I have, my wife gave me a gift. It's an invaluable, precious, precious gift on the wall opposite. It's actually a personalized, framed poster of Rabbeim, of mentors, of people, human beings who I look to and I hold on to. It's Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Cook and Rav Ari Levin and Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht and the Pia Setzner and Rav Moshe and Rav Avram Shapira Zikulam Zichronam Levracha. If I struggle with Emuna, I can close my eyes and hold on to their coattails. I can look at parents, grandparents, mentors. We need to think about building Emuna, and one strategy, says Rav Lichtenstein, is looking to our mentors. The other one, says Rav Lichtenstein, amazing, is not just his parents and his Rabbeim. The greatest source of faith, if you see it on the screen on the left side, however, has been the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. He says it's a little bit circular, right? But on the other hand, existentially, however, nothing has been more authentic than the encounter with Avinu Malkeinu, the source and ground of all being. Nothing more sustaining, nothing more strengthening, nothing more vivifying. And he says, yes, it's been varied and through Talmud Torah and davening and the experience of just watching children play at twilight. But ultimately, he says, it has been the ultimate base of spiritual life. This will obviously provide little guidance for those to whom attaining encounter is precisely the problem. To those struggling to develop faith, one can, however, proffer first the reassurance assertion of the religious significance of the quest per se. And even if Zosimaris, Rav Lichtenstein says, even if it's hard for us because we're trying to build emuna, so how can we have emuna to build emuna? He says the first step is just to be a mavakish, to be a mavakish emuna. That gives us an element of emuna. So, Bein Odom Liatzmo, in a time of pachad, what's one thing that potentially we can do? We can build emuna. And building emuna can mean through reading stories of great people, thinking about great people. One of the things that we can do now that we're not social and we're not out is to try some meditation. I don't know if any of you have ever tried this. It's been a tremendous bracha in my life. I read over the summer Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's book, and I got another book, and you can try just a few minutes. Now you're in the quiet of your own room. What would it mean to close your eyes? It's something that I could speak personally for me has been very powerful. In the summertime, I had the schus to spend time every single day in meditation. And you could find your own mantra, your own particular phrase, the experience and the expression that's meaningful for you. And there are different forms of meditation. You can visualize something in your mind. There are svarim. There are hadrachas. I'm happy to talk to you about it later. But even in my own experience, this has been very powerful to develop my own emuna, you know, my own mantra. Different people have their own thing. Finding your mantra. What is it that you can come back to over and over? For me, it's been the phrase, Ein Od Melvado. And to be able to sit and close my eyes and just envision those words and be in that space, that helps me tremendously to nurture my own emuna. So you guys, I would encourage you, think about what is it that you can do in this time to strengthen emuna. That's number one. That's Bein Odom Liatzmo. Let's talk about Bein Odom Lechavero. So what's, I think, very interesting about this whole situation, this whole scenario that we're in right now, is that this is an experience, in a certain sense, that's all about Bein Odom Lechavero, to a large extent. Why do I say that? Because Baruch Hashem, those of us in this virtual room, in this call, most of us are actually, I don't know, I mean, some of us have a high risk because of a pre-existing condition, but most of us on this call, and most of the people that we know, on our age bracket, in your age bracket, are, thank God, healthy, and don't have pre-existing conditions. This isn't going to affect them to a great degree, according to most physicians. Under normal circumstances, you know, it's not going to be so dangerous. So why is everybody making such a tumult? Why should we care? Shalom alei nafshi. Why do I care if I go outside and I get coronavirus, I spread coronavirus, mazeh mishaneh? For me, it's okay. You know why the whole world is on lockdown? You know why? And we're all hunkered down, why we're distant from each other, why we're separate? To reinforce the fact that we care about other people. That's the ikar. The fact that it's okay for me doesn't matter. That's not the main thing. Because if I go outside and I go to a minyan now, and everybody goes to a minyan, I might be okay. Hashem Yishmor, everybody should be okay. But Derech HaTeva, we're not at the high risk, most of us. But you know why we can't go to minyan? Because we are reinforcing the fact that we are worrying about other people. And that is the ultimate lesson of Bein Adam LaChaveiro. Yes, Rav Shechter points out in the Sfarim that the Ikar Machayev, the main Machayev of Mitzvot Bein Adam LaChaveiro, Ki Beglal HaDavar Hazeh Yivarechecha, it's a Galgal HaChozer Ba'olam, we do for others because they're going to do for us. Yeah, but that's only the basic level. What's the highest level? What's the greatest chesed? A chesed shel emes. A chesed shel emes means that we do it lelo tzipia letashlom gemul. I'm not going to get anything back from it. It's just for somebody else. It's about being oriented to somebody else. And the halacha encourages us, and this is a time that we can reinforce this aspect of Bein Adam LaChaveiro, which is not to focus on ourselves, but to think about the other person. Because that's a true chesed. The highest level of chesed is Bein Adam LaChaveiro, that is chesed shel emes, that's all about the other person. And it's getting into the mind frame of what does that person need? More than what do I need, even in this situation? I'll give you an example of what I mean at this high level of sensitivity to other people. It's a din Gemara Ksubas talks about in Hilchos Tzedakah called Dei Machsoro. Any of you have ever heard of this din? What is the din in Hilchos Tzedakah called Dei Machsoro?
Everyone gets whatever they need for their personal status.
So what does that mean practically? What does the Gemara say?
A rich person might need a horse.
Oh, exactly. So you have somebody in the town who is a very wealthy person, and they are accustomed, the Gemara says, to having a chariot with a horse and a servant to run in front. And lo aleinu, that person falls on hard times. And by the way, we need to daven in addition to so many tzrachim now. The economy, the people who are living month to month, who are now unemployed, Rahman al-Islam, we need to daven for health, we need to daven for parnasa, for yeshuas. So now this person used to be wealthy, they've fallen on hard times, and now they can't afford, the Gemara says, they can't afford a chariot with a servant. So the din of Dei Machsoro, in a vacuum, obviously that doesn't take priority over people who at the Ark or the Chesed Fund or, you know, the Chicago Food Depository, Mamish people need food. But theoretically, there's a chiyuv of tzedakah to provide a chariot and a horse and a servant. And I say, wait a second. I don't have a chariot. I don't have a horse. I don't have a servant. So why am I giving tzedakah so that that guy should have a chariot and a horse and a servant? Because Dei Machsoro teaches us that when it comes to caring about another person, even if for me personally, that's not an issue. Zeluinyan, I don't have that. I don't need that. That's not my socioeconomic level. But for that person, it matters. That person is broken. That person is hurting. So I need to care about them. Bein Adam LaChaveiro is thinking about the other person, thinking about them on the level of chesed shel emes, and understanding that what determines a chesed is not what is important to me, but what is important to them. How many chasadim can we do now? How many opportunities are there to say, wait a second, who lives on my block who maybe is lonely, who I should text, who maybe, you know, no one reached out to recently? Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend. And what is it that that person is missing? I don't know. Maybe they're short on toilet paper. That's everybody's talking. You know, that everyone's running short. Maybe you have, I don't know, maybe for some reason you went to Sam's Club 2 months ago before anything went crazy and you have an entire shed full of toilet paper. You know, tovo lecha bracha, make sure it doesn't get wet. who knows what you can provide for somebody else? But to think about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, of what concerns someone else, that's the whole tekufa that we're in right now. We're worrying about other people's health, so we need to worry about their mental health too, to check in on them, to reach out to them. And just the whole orientation of what does it mean to worry about somebody else? It's thinking about from their perspective. You know, it's getting out of our own comfort zone to do for them on their terms. That's number two. Any ha'aris, questions, comments, or observations? Bein Adam L'Atzmo, now we did Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Potentially, what can we do? We can reach out to people. We can check in on them. We can make them feel like they're not alone. Ki'ata imadi. They also have friends. They also have somebody to connect to. Anyone want to add? All right, so let's roll on to ha'ara number three. It's starting to get late. In addition to Bein Adam L'Atzmo and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the Gemara told us, L'kai mili debrachus, Bein Adam L'makom. So what can we do, Bein Adam L'makom? Brachos is a beautiful and amazing place to start. What is a bracha? The word baruch, says the Sefer Shari Ora, comes from the word brecha. What is a brecha?
Pool.
That's right, it's a pool. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a pool full of shefa, a pool full of goodness, of health, of life, of parnas, of gezun, talavai, we should all have it. There's a brecha, and when we say baruch ato, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the holder of this great swimming pool full of beautiful things, of blessings, of bounty. You have that brecha. When we say baruch, we are acknowledging and we're bringing that brecha into our lives, into our world. That's very powerful. So the Tur in Or HaChaim and Siman Mem Vav tells us a story that appears in the Medrash. It's in the Tur. The Tur says that David HaMelech experienced a plague, a pandemic, a virus probably, and 100 people were dying a day. That's what it says in the Tur. He quotes from a Medrash. So the Medrash says, what did David HaMelech do? Through Ruach HaKodesh, he realized an opportunity, which is codified in Gemara Menachos, to be mesakein, to establish mea brachos, 100 brachos a day. Where does this mea brachos come from? So the Gemara says in Menachos, the Pasuk says, Va'at Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of us? Ma? What is ma? Mem hey. What? Al tikre ma, says the Gemara. Ella mea. 100. Similarly, Tosus points out that the number of letters in that pasuk, there are 100 letters. Others add that the basis, the foundation of the Mishkan were the adonim, the sockets, there were 100 adonim. When we say a bracha, and we say 100 brachas a day, we are peppering our entire day with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing Hashem's brecha into our world, connecting to Him. 100 times a day means it's all over the place. And by the way, even just without Chazaras HaShatz, you know, some Achronim talk about maybe saying Amen counts, but without Chazaras HaShatz, we got to pay attention, because Shachris Mincha Mariv, so Shemon Esrei, you have 19 brachas times 3, so that's pretty good. What's 19 times 3? I think it's 57, yes? So that's a good start. You're more than halfway there. But then we have a few Asher Yatzars and the Birchas HaShachar, and then other brachas. Mea brachas, amazing. You know what the Ben Ish Chai says? I saw this. Amazing. Ben Ish Chai says in Parshas Balak, what did we say was the source of Mea brachas, the Gemara? Ma Hashem Elokecha. Ma, the word Ma, Mem Hei. Says the Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Balak, Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov. What is Ma Tovu Alecha Yaakov? So it's talking about Ma, the Mea Brachos. He says that Mea Brachos is Misalek Hamaves. It removes death. What does that have to do with death? Because Ma, that Mea Brachos, it removes that which could ruin would be Matame the Ohel. What is Matame Ba'ohel? A mace. Ma tovu alecha Yaakov. When we say ma mea brachos b'chol yom, tovu alecha. Our tents are beautiful because there's no malacha mavis. There's no mavis. There's no death. There's no pandemic. Unbelievable. If the Ben Ish Chai hadn't said it, who would have the audacity to say it? Mea brachos, says the Ben Ish Chai, is misalik mavis. But perhaps we could take it even a step further. Yes, this is not just a Midas Chasidus, it's a din in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says we are obligated to make 100 brachos every day. But then it's the question of what kind of brachos? L'kayim mili de brachos, how? So I'll share with you a small personal hanhaga. You know, halavai, one day I'll become a big Talmud Chacham, a big tzaddik of somebody. But right now I'm just trying to take small steps, aren't we all? So I decided this year I wanted to try to help myself to grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my awareness of brachos. And over the summer, I read an amazing book called Atomic Habits, a very powerful, outstanding book about how to improve your habits. And it's about taking tiny, tiny Kabbalahs and building them in. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to try the following. You ready? It's going to sound weird. You'll be Michael me. I'm going to say Asher Yatzar with both my feet in one place. Do you know how hard that is? How do I usually say Asher Yatzar?
Walking out.
Yeah, running out of the restroom, down the hall, into the base medrash, into the office, on the phone. I say it on the go. So I decided I was going to try for 30 days to be Mekabel B'li Neder, to say Asher Yatzar standing in one place. It's so hard. Sometimes I'm finishing off, it's like, Mafli Laso, and I'm like leaning over. But that one shift can change my whole awareness that I'm actually saying a bracha. Because unfortunately, it's so difficult for us to just stop and pay attention and say, Baruch Ata Hashem. It has been, and I kept it up since then, B'li Neder. It's been a game changer. It doesn't mean that even every Asher Yatzar is with Kavana, but at least I'm aware that I'm saying a bracha. I'm connecting to that bracha. What kinds of brachas are we saying? Maybe it's a bracha for Netilas Yadayim. You know, Netilas Yadayim, the Gemara has two opinions. One is that it's Mishum Nikios, that it's a hygienic practice. So Chazal, obviously we're sensitive to hygiene. So maybe we should say that bracha with more kavana. Maybe it's just counting the brachas. Maybe it's saying brachas out loud. I don't know what it is, but it's not just the number of brachas that we say, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but it's the kind of brachas that we say. How do we say these brachas? Do we say them, you know, maybe we try to say we're going to do it at the dinner table. We're all going to say brachas out loud so we can answer amen and say beautiful brachas with each other. There are a lot of different strategies that we can employ, and we could talk among friends, families, chavrusas, chabura. But l'kayim mili de brachos. Can we get more serious about our brachos? What can we do during this tkufa? We can think about brachos with kavana, making sure that we do the mea brachos. Maybe if we're not so makbid about myriv, maybe we should make sure to daven myriv. We could say b'li neder, we're not going to do it forever. We're going to do it this tkufa. When we're under quarantine, when we're at home, we're going to make sure we get mea brachos. We're not going to miss that. And we're not going to miss that with kavana and each one of us. And I wouldn't try to do it all in one shot because it's not going to be shayach. I think they say a story from the name of the Yisrael Salanter that he would say, take a Kabbalah during a Seris Mei Tshuva. Everyone have a Kabbalah? Write it down on a paper. Great. Then he would say, take the paper, fold it in half. Then take that paper and fold it in half again. That's a good Kabbalah. Take something tiny. Take one bracha. Maybe one bracha in Shmon Esrei. You know, maybe you don't bench with a sitter, so bench with a sitter. Maybe in Shimon Esrei, take one bracha just to have your finger to follow on the place. Not every bracha, one bracha. And don't worry, if you miss the first time, you catch it the next one. But these are things that we can do. And hopefully, through them, we will grow closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during this time. And ultimately, perhaps in that tzchus, we can bring Yeshua for ourselves and for the Klal Yisrael and for the entire world. But the one thing that we have in control is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the inside. No one can take that away from us. So to nurture that, we're saying tonight, as we can think about Bein Odom Le'atzmo, nurturing our emuna, potentially practically through reading stories, connecting to mentors, sources of faith, and meditating on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connecting to Hashem, cultivating our own inner emuna. The second area, Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, Nezikin, right? Don't go outside and damage, because you shouldn't be outside damaging. Ra'adaraba, the idea of Bein Odom L'Chaveiro means, according to our Mesorah, is to aspire to Chesed Shel Emes, to thinking about others, irrespective of ourselves, and more than that, what is it that's important to someone else, even if that particular issue or thing wouldn't be important to me? And finally, Bein Odom L'Makom, Brachos, Mea Brachos B'chol Yom, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach, and what kind of Brachos? And Halavai, through our growth of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives and reaching Him and feeling closer to Him and being closer to Him, all of these things will elevate us and the entire world to see Orish HaMashiach and to see a Yeshua that we're all desperately waiting for. Bekarav Mamash, Halavai, it should be tonight, Halavai, it should be tomorrow.